Hello, well, here we are back in the studio because it's time for At the Table with Gail. I'm Peter Fleming, and it's my pleasure, as always, as I say, to introduce Gail Hall, our resident cook, chef, extraordinaire. Hello, Gail.
Good morning. How are you?
Well, I'm not too bad. Everybody see you. How are you, more to the point, because you've had a week off?
Yeah,
a bad
I
cold.
Have, actually. Yeah, so I hope my voice is coming across okay. But anyway, it's I never actually had a voice, so we're gaining. I've got it back.
Yes, your dulcet tones are back.
Yeah. So what we're going to do today, and I've got all these lovely recipes lined up, so we're going to start off with caramelised onion feta and bacon quiche, which sounds really nice, and I think I might be grabbing the ingredients for that on the way home because it certainly looks good, and I've got some feta cheese in the fridge. And the next one we're going to look at is the saucy meatloaf, which is really lovely. I love saucy meatloaf. And then we're going to move on to this gorgeous dessert, no-bake choc caramel cheesecake. Ooh, and the illustration looks lovely. And then I thought we'd throw in a few sauces, Peter, you know, because, you know, we've got, you know, quite often we make something, but we sort of think, what's a sauce to go with that?
It just needs zhuzhing up or something.
It does need zhuzhing up. So we've got three here. If we can fit them in, it'll be lovely. So we've got yogurt satay, Middle Eastern spinach, and citrus and yogurt. So that's three sauces that we've got, and if we've got time, we'll certainly be putting those in today.
Okay,
and
sounds good.
Note, Peter, that I've actually got no soup recipes. We're done.
Well, the sun's out there. It's supposed to be warming up. It's supposed to be springtime, and you'll be coming with exotic salads next.
That's right, exactly. So all the soup recipes in the drawer, gone. So this is great. Exciting moving into summer. So we're going to start off now with our caramelised onion feta and bacon quiche. And what we need for that is 1.5 cups of plain flour, 200 grams of butter chilled and chopped, 1 teaspoon of salt, 1/4 cup of sour cream, 1 tablespoon of olive oil, 4 red onions quartered, 2 tablespoons of brown sugar, 1 tablespoon of balsamic vinegar, 2 teaspoons of water, 4 streaky bacon rashers, 3 tomatoes chopped, 100 grams of feta crumbled, and 1/3 cup of parsley. 8 eggs, I know that sounds a lot, but this is actually a meal. This is really a great meal.
For a big family.
Yeah, a big family. And 1.5 cups of thickened cream. Now, the method for this is preheat the oven to 180 degrees Celsius. Now, pulse the flour, butter and salt to fine crumbs and then add the sour cream. Now, this is your sort of pastry, so a little bit different. Pulse until it binds together and knead lightly on a floured surface until smooth, then wrap in cling film and then chill it for 30 minutes. In a frying pan, heat oil on low, sauté onion for 10 minutes. There's quite a few onions in this. I thought 4 red onions was quite a bit, but red onions have got a lovely flavour, so if you feel that's too much, I would say just, you know, you could halve that.
I don't know. I'm trying to think of it. If I've ever had a meal that's had too many onions in.
No, well, I enjoy onion, and I think if you, you know, chop it up, you know, sort of, it says quartered, but I mean, I'd be chopping them up, you know, chopping them, not quartering them.
Right, yeah.
So, and I just love onions. So you're going to sauté the onions for 10 minutes or until very soft. Add the sugar, vinegar, and water, cooking for a further 10 minutes, and then put that aside, just cool. Now, you've brought the pastry out of your fridge where it's been chilling for 30 minutes. Now, roll the pastry between 2 sheets of baking paper, or if you've got cling film or something like that, or if you feel that you can do it without having to do that. But and then you're lining a 22-centimetre springform pan with the pastry. Now, you're chilling this again. You're putting it in the fridge for about 15 minutes, and then bring it out and bake blind. We've talked about baking blind before, where you have to actually put a piece of baking paper in and then put whatever you have that you keep in your cupboard for baking blind. Like mine, I've got some very, very, very dark brown macaroni in a jar, which, you know, really does do the job. So you can just put it over. One of these days I'm going to get myself some of those lovely pastry.
Get the proper beads.
The proper beads. Yeah, they're
good.
Not cheap.
Well, they're so easy to clean out. You know,
yeah,
well, I used
exactly.
to use rice and stuff
yeah.
like that.
Have you got the baking beads?
We have.
You have?
Who does?
Gosh, he's a professional, this man.
Well, my wife
yeah.
has, isn't
he? Yeah, okay. So anyway, so we're going to bake it blind for 15 minutes or until light golden. Fry the bacon in a hot frying pan until crisp and drain it on a paper towel. Now fill the tart case with the onion, bacon, tomatoes, feta and parsley. So you're putting that all round the bottom of it. In a jug, whisk the eggs and cream together, season well and pour into the case and bake for 20 minutes and then reduce your oven temperature to 160 degrees Celsius and bake for another 25 to 30 minutes. And you'll see that it should be set because, you know, you don't want the wobble. You'll sort of know that it's set when you're actually looking at it. So this looks absolutely yummy. Don't take it out of it. Well, you've got a springform pan, which I love my springform pan, which means when it cools, you just push it from the bottom and out it comes. Perfect. Lovely. Well, most times. And there you are. So cool it in the pan first and then press that underneath and it should come out of the tin. Lovely. And absolutely, and I'm going to show this to Peter because it's quite mouth-watering to look at.
Well, it looks like a quiche to me, and I don't know where that saying came from that real men don't eat quiche, because I think the quiche is a fabulous thing.
There's so many different varieties yeah. of quiche now, honestly.
Yeah,
so,
no.
A fabulous meal, and
does
that bit
nice.
Of parsley
yeah.
on the top looks lovely. Magic.
The only bit I was trying to see, it didn't actually say cut up the bacon. To do.
Let me see the bacon.
Four streaky bacon
rashes.
And then
yeah,
you
well,
say in a frying pan.
Yeah, that's right.
Fried
I
bacon
yeah,
in a hot
yeah,
frying
yeah,
pan
yeah.
until crisp.
Well,
I was
yeah.
interested to see because obviously in the picture it's been cut up.
It has been cut up. Yeah, yeah, I think you know just logically.
And I thought,
you know,
oh, is this based on whole strips of bacon? But
well,
it's not, is it?
Well, I suppose it could, but if you want it to go throughout the, you know, the whole quiche, you basically need to chop it up. So,
yeah.
But I see, funny you should say that, but see that bit of onion?
I do.
It looks like it's
oh, fairly.
Not actually chopped up finely. It's
yeah,
sort of like
true.
Cut into sort of strips, I suppose you could say. But, yeah, so when they say quarters, but, I mean, I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't do that.
Anyway, how did you stop doing soups? You're moving into picnic territory now, aren't you?
I am, yeah, definitely picnic territory. Mm. So that's our quiche anyway. And we're going to move on now. I love meatloaf with the sauce, you know, just filling over the top of it. I've made it, not this particular recipe, I must admit, but I have got a recipe of my own. I may have given it out over the years, I don't know. But this one's a slightly different, but still looks lovely. And it is 600 grams of sausage mince, they call it, but meat. Or you can halve that with beef or half pork mince. And it just depends on how you feel about it. But I know that I wouldn't add the pork mince. Just something about me. I wouldn't have that. I'd rather have half beef and half sausage meat.
Now, when you say sausage meat,
yes.
What do you mean?
You know, the sausage meat that you can buy in a tube.
You can. Yeah, I mean, I go back to my childhood and Mum used to buy sausage meat and it was really, really nice and it was tasty.
Just
nothing
lovely.
To do, you know, never saw a sausage skin or anything. You bought it from the butcher as...
That's correct.
I can't say as I've ever come across it much since.
Well,
so
it is in a tube. It is in a tube. It's about $6 or so a tube. And, you know, when I say tube, I mean quite a large tube in plastic. And I use that a lot if
yeah.
I'm going to mix it.
Yeah, well,
it
I
in.
Think it's great stuff. So
it is
you obviously
great.
Buy that at a supermarket.
You
do.
You do.
Okay,
and,
I should look really.
Yeah, do look for it. It's very obvious. It's you know usually, you know, got a little stack there.
Okay.
But that would be my choice. So I would be half beef and half sausage. They call it sausage mince, but sausage meat.
Yeah.
Okay. So we've got that 1 cup of bread crumbs. So that's great. You can that sort of bulks it out a little bit. 1 onion finely chopped, 1 carrot grated, 2 garlic cloves finely chopped, 1.5 teaspoons of mild curry powder, and then we've got 2 eggs, salt and cracked pepper. Now, I can give you the sauce recipe now if you like, because this is what's going to go on top of it eventually. 2 tablespoons of tomato paste, or sauce, 1 tablespoon of Worcestershire sauce, 1 tablespoon of apple cider vinegar, 2 tablespoons of brown sugar, 1/2 teaspoon of corn flour. That's, you know, sort of for thickening it. Make sure you mix it with a little bit of cold water or cold something. A dash of chili sauce, depending if you like that, and a 1/3 cup, 80 mils of boiling water and salt and cracked pepper. Now, I've made a sauce, but definitely my sauce, this is a new sauce to me, so I haven't made this particular sauce, but I have made it, and it does involve brown sugar, etc. Now, what we're doing is heating the oven to 180 degrees Celsius. Now, grease a loaf dish, and that's just the good old tin loaf dish, or a ceramic one if you've got one that suits the oven. You're lining it with baking paper. So basically, you know, you can, when you take it out, you can just slice it up and you've still got the baking paper on the bottom. Set the prepared loaf dish onto an oven tray to catch any spills. Now, okay, well, hopefully it shouldn't spill over, but if you want to take that advice, please do. In a large mixing bowl, combine the meatloaf ingredients using your hands to mix well. Okay, and that's not unusual because if you've got a nice wide bowl, you know, you can use your clean hands to do that, you know, to mix it up.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
You've got to use your hands.
You definitely
And if you've
do.
Got a really big bowl, you could do it with your feet, probably, like like trading wine. Or
so whereabouts are you going to? Not in any wine country that you're going to have to get out and stamp them, do you, Peter?
No,
season with salt and pepper. Now, basically, pack the meatloaf firmly, now firmly into the prepared dish and bake for 30 minutes. When the 30 minutes is almost up, combine those sauce ingredients in a jug. Remove the meatloaf from the oven and pour that sauce over and return to the oven for another 40 minutes. And this is might be why the dish, you know, your tray comes in handy because that could bubble and bubble over and save an oven job, you know, cleaning it. All of our favourite jobs, of course. And then return to the oven, 40 minutes, and make sure the loaf dish, like I say, is sitting on the tray because it can bubble over. Once cooked, set the meatloaf aside to rest for 15 minutes, then slice and serve. Well, you can actually slip it out of the tin if you want to impress and put it on a nice dish, but basically you could cut it, and that's why you've got the paper at the bottom. You could cut it through. Right, and then that's it. Any leftover meatloaf, which I doubt because this will be tasty, you could use it in a sandwich for the next day.
Exactly, yeah. Hey, I like the sound of that. Do you know, it's never been something I've made. I don't know if I've ever made a meatloaf before.
Oh.
Claire makes them occasionally. It's just never been part of my repertoire.
Oh, wow.
But I like the sound of this one. I like the fact that it says put a bit of mild curry powder, a bit of chilli sauce.
Just for flavour.
I will
have to wait for that, though, Peter, because you're going to be...
Yes, well, I'm going to be coming back with all sorts of South American gaucho and Argentinian recipes, aren't I?
Oh, right. That's the recipe?
Yes.
Yeah, and that's the picture. Yes, well, that'll be interesting, Peter. If you happen to be in a waiting room anywhere and you see a recipe in a book, just rip it out for me,
I will.
Would you?
Yes, okay. That is a good idea, yeah. Gail's giving away the fact that I'm off on holiday and next week to South America. Anyway, that's enough of that. I'll tell you all about it when I come back. Meatloaf sounds great. And so what music do you think we could play, Gail?
Honestly, let me just see if a light bulb happens. You wouldn't be looking for a meatloaf.
Well, there we are. Great minds think alike. Yes, I will. And here we are. Here's a meatloaf track.
Sirens are screaming and the fires are howling. We're down in the valley tonight. There's a man in the shadows with a gun in his eye and a blade shining oh so bright. There's evil in the air and there's thunder in the sky and a killer's on the bloodshot streets. Oh, I'm down in the tunnel with a deadly horizon. Oh, I swear I saw a young boy down in the gutter. He was starting to foam in the heat. Oh, baby, you're the only thing in this whole world that's good and good and right. And wherever you are and wherever you go, there's always gonna be some light. But I gotta get out, I gotta break it out now before the final crack of dawn. So we gotta make the most of our one night together when it's over, you know. We'll both be so alone. the gates of heaven, I'll come calling on back to you.
The late great Meatloaf. That's very apt yes. for your recipe
yes,
this week.
Yes, no, that's right. No, and we're pretty good with our music choices. Well, your music choices, quite frankly. But this might—if you're snoozing—this one might wake you up a bit. But anyway, something really sweet, an indulgent caramel overload. So this is a no-bake chopped caramel cheesecake, and looks absolutely delicious. And I do like cheesecake. And we've got 200 grams. Block of caramello chocolate, 205, which is rather unusual, packet of Oreo biscuits, 100 grams of butter melted, 1.5 teaspoons of powdered gelatin, 1/4 cup of boiling water, 500 grams of cream cheese, softened and chopped, 1/2 cup of caster sugar, 1 teaspoon of vanilla essence, 1 cup of thickened cream, 100 grams of dark chocolate melted and cooled, and a 300 gram jar of salted caramel sauce. Well, there we are. We're definitely into overload. So,
not fattening, is it?
Well, I wouldn't count the calories, they'd probably go off the roof. So, but anyway, we're placing the caramello chocolate in the freezer. Line a spring form pan again with baking paper. And when I say a spring form, they're usually about 20 centimetres. So they're sort of fairly universal. In a food processor, pulse the biscuits until fine crumbs form. Add the butter, pulse until the mixture comes together, and press over the base of the pan. This is your crust, of course. And that's going to be the base. And put that in the fridge and chill that for 15 minutes. Now, in a heat-proof jug or bowl, whisk gelatin into the water. In a clean food processor, combine your cream cheese, caster sugar and vanilla, pulse until smooth, add cream and gelatin mixture and pulse again until just combined. Now, pour in that 100 grams of melted chocolate and pulse until smooth. So you're flicking it off and on to make sure that this is all getting mixed up. Transfer that mixture to a large bowl. Roughly chop half the caramello, fold through the cheese mixture with half the salted caramel sauce. Ooh. Spread filling over the base and chill for 6 hours. So this will have to be made early in the day if you're going to be entertaining. Serve topped with the whipped cream, the rest of the chopped caramello, and the salted caramel sauce. Oh, and this looks a dream. And it does say, sweet dreams.
Yes. Oh, yeah, that looks... Well, I mean, a cheesecake. It's a beautiful topping on it, isn't it?
Beautiful. Absolutely. I love caramel.
Yes.
It's lovely. Yeah. Very nice. So it is quite decadent, but, you know, it's an indulgence.
Now, I'm going to sound pretty stupid here, but Oreo biscuits.
Mm-hmm.
What are they?
The Oreo ones are round, very dark. And they've got a little bit of... cream, I suppose, but obviously not fresh cream because they're in packets of biscuits, but they're mock cream, I guess that's the word for it. And the round is so round, and then they've got, there's two of them sandwiched together with a bit of mock cream.
That was it. Oreo. I was pretty sure that's what an Oreo
biscuit
right. was,
yeah,
is.
Yeah, yeah.
I was just surprised that they use them with the cream in, that you then use them as the base. What a good idea.
Well, that's right. Yeah, exactly.
So you could use, I wonder if you could use custard creams, couldn't you, for
a base? Could.
Not
yes.
for this one. But.
Yeah, you could. Yes. That surprises me too when it says, I don't think I've seen, well, Oreos aren't Oreos if they haven't got the cream in the middle. And basically, perfect for that.
Yeah, that's an interesting one. Yeah. All right, well, good.
Yeah, well, I showed Peter that picture. It's absolutely beautiful. And, you know, let us know if you make it. So we're going to move on to the few sauces that I picked out, because basically, as we said before, sometimes you just want a sauce for something, you know. Like I've taken out a piece of steak for tea. And basically, now what can I have with that? Ooh, I don't think any of the ones that I've got I'm going to give you I can have with steak. Oh, Middle Eastern spinach sauce. Maybe we should try that.
And of course it makes a totally different sort of meal, doesn't it?
It does,
the sauces,
yeah, exactly. And put a little bit over the mashed potato as well.
Yeah, exactly.
So
yeah.
I'm going to give you this one first, since it might be the one that I actually use tonight. 1 tablespoon of butter, 1/2 onion peeled and finely chopped, 1 clove of garlic peeled and crushed, 1/2 teaspoon of curry powder, 1 bunch of spinach well washed and chopped, and 1 tablespoon of chili sauce, and 1/4 cup of yogurt, plain yogurt. So let me see what I need to do. Melt the butter in a small saucepan over moderate heat. Add the onion and garlic and sauté until soft, about 8 to 10 minutes. Reduce heat and add the curry powder and the spinach leaves and stir until the leaves are tender. Let me see, what else? Is that carry on up here? I think it does. Remove the pan from the heat and stir in the chili sauce and yogurt. Serve warm or chilled with meat, chicken or fish. Now, for a thinner sauce, if you want it to be thinner, process in a blender or food processor for 15 to 20 seconds. So that sounds quite nice, doesn't it?
It does.
It gives you another vegetable as well.
It does, yeah, with the spinach, you mean?
Spinach.
I couldn't find a bag of spinach in the supermarket yesterday.
Oh.
Can you believe
Was
that?
It all sold out?
Yeah, just no bags of spinach.
Well, I might have to just go and have a little look and get a little bunch, because I think for a sauce, I don't think you could substitute that with silver beet. Because it'd be stronger.
No,
I'm going to definitely try that with
Good. Yeah, it'd be interesting to hear how you get on with that. And what are you going to put it on?
I'm going to put it on a piece of, you know, porterhouse steak.
Right.
We'll just see what that tastes like.
Okay.
Mm. And, shall we go for one more? This is another favourite. If you like satay, yogurt satay sauce, 1/2 cup of yogurt, 1/8 teaspoon of ground nutmeg, 1/4 cup of crunchy peanut butter, 1 tablespoon of chili sauce or to taste, depending on your own taste, and 1/8 teaspoon of ground ginger. Now, all you're doing with this, very easy, combine all the ingredients and mix really well and serve with meat, chicken or vegetables. That's the yogurt satay sauce.
Well, that was pretty simple.
Very simple. Yeah, very simple. And have I got one more? I've got
citrus and yogurt sauce.
Okay, so we go for that. It's all yogurt. these are simple. Yeah, they're all got yogurt in them. Juice of 2 oranges and 1 lemon. 2 tablespoons of corn flour, 3 tablespoons of honey, and 1 cup of yogurt. Again, mix the juices, corn flour, and honey in a saucepan to form a smooth paste. Cook over a very low heat until the sauce thickens. Allow it to cool. Add the yogurt and mix until well combined. Now, they're saying this could be a serving as a topping on your muesli, fruit salad and ice cream, or just a dip, you know, for fruit segments.
I must admit, as you were reading out through the ingredients and what you did, I thought, oh, on earth are you going to have this on? And then, oh, yes, it's a sweet topping.
It's a sweet topping. Sweet topping. Wouldn't have it on sausages, I don't think, Peter.
Or on your piece of porterhouse steak.
No, that's right, yeah. So that's quite a nice one, too, to have on a little bit of ice cream, maybe. But, yeah, good for a muesli in the morning.
Yeah. Why not? Well, that's
interesting.
Yeah.
I'm
sitting here.
And all these 3 sauces have got yogurt in them.
Well, exactly, and that's you can't beat that kind of.
No, you can't. So it's good, healthy.
Use yogurt for so many things.
Oh, it's great. Yeah.
I can remember when it came in. You know, back in the UK, when would it be in the? Or you wouldn't know. You weren't there, but necessarily. Mm. I don't know. It just became fashionable in sometime in the 60s.
60s, probably. Yes,
and
60s, late.
I can remember sort of some sitcoms on the telly, and it was a big joke that somebody had, oh, and they've got yogurt in the fridge. You know? And it was just they hadn't even invented yuppies then, but the people that would become yuppies were the people who had yogurt and possibly tofu even. But
oh, well, that's right. Yeah, well, there's so many different flavours. It's like I went to, I was in the supermarket yesterday and I walked past and I saw all these milk brands and Tetra Paks, and I was thinking, gee, we've come a long way from cow's milk.
I know. I find it's extremely difficult when you try to choose something. By the way, did you know that Tetra Paks, you can now recycle them at that new place down the road?
Well, I've
at Otterhanger.
Oh, you can?
Yes, apparently. So Catherine gave
great.
Me the secret the other day.
Oh, very good. Yeah. I hate throwing those in
so
the bin.
So do I. But you have to cut them up with a pair of scissors so they go flat.
Yeah, flatten them. Yeah, like most card if you're putting it out in the recycling anyway. Really put it out flat.
So they will take them and they press them into sort of wall panels. Or something. So there was an exhibition in the old library recently here in Waikanae.
Oh.
And the panels that they'd put up to put posters on were made of these compressed Tetra Paks.
Fantastic.
I thought I'd mention it because it spread the word.
Spread the word. That's fantastic.
So it's something else you've got to collect in your garage, of course. But
I don't
well
care
worth it.
If you know that it's going into.
And you don't have to cut the plastic out either.
Well, I'm going to ask you, what do you do with old CDs? They're not recyclable.
I haven't thrown them. I've not thrown any
away. This is one that I've, the person's deceased now. And I just sort of thought, what am I going to do with these? I don't really want to keep them because they're not music. They're something particular. And I thought, what am I going to do with these? I'll hold them till I find out.
If I were you, I'd check with this place at Otterhanger. But I've checked when it's open. I think it might only be open. No, it must be open during the week. They're specifically looking for builder's rubbish and that, but they'll take all your stuff from home, electronic gear and everything, and they don't charge much if they charge anything.
Oh.
I haven't been myself. I've heard about it.
Oh, that's
good.
Sounds
wonderful.
Well, like you say, spread the word.
Go and ask. Well, I think you filled your time and you've earned your money.
Yeah, anyway. Aside from cooking, but it's good to know these things.
It is, yeah. Well, that's just a sort of communicative show we've got.
Yeah, that's right, exactly.
Yes. Anyway, nice to have you back, Gail.
Nice to
and
see you.
You seem to be perfectly well and...
it's good to be back.
Fit and well. Good. All right.
See you, Peter.
Bye for now.
Bye.
This program was made with assistance from New Zealand On Air for radio broadcast and through the accessmedia.nz website. Thank you, New Zealand On Air.